Let's do it.
Is this live?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are.
Yeah, okay. You got to be
Amp Radio.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you as ever by the Amp Radio Network. My name is Proteus. I will be here with you all night. I unfortunately am not joined by the usual cast of characters, but we're still here, ladies and gentlemen, almost 3 years in a row. That's right. To do hashtag smack my picks up, UFC Fight Night 146, also known as Lewis versus Dos Santos, coming at us live and direct on March 9th, 2019 at the Intrust Bank Arena in the granddaddy of them all, Wichita, Kansas. And DJ Tony has a white stripe joke to insert here. You all know what I'm talking about. Okay, guys, as I mentioned at the top, I am not joined by the usual cast of characters. Unfortunately, the First Lady of Amp Radio is unavailable tonight, but that's okay. Just so you know, you got the penises for the rest of the evening. I'm just kidding. That's not a bonus for anyone. All right, so as I mentioned, I am joined by the big boss man himself, the original B-Boy. Let's go ahead and bring him in now. It's Tony time.
DJ! DJ!
Proteus, as the great Jack White once said, we are not going to Wichita.
And there it is. There's the White Stripes reference I mentioned earlier on. And DJ Tony, just so the audience and you also know, not only are we going to do main event, co-main event, and spotlight fight of the night as we usually do for hashtag Smack My Picks Up, we're also going to have a little Amp Radio Rewind. Tony, so how are you feeling? You doing all right today?
You know, Proteus, you're probably the only one that knows that I've been sick. So I had walking pneumonia. I've been on antibiotics. I am on drugs, as Marco mentioned last week. However, no codeine tonight, so I should be more sober than I was last time.
Well, we do appreciate it, DJ Tony. Thank you very much. Let's waste no time and get to it. Of course, we miss Pam. She had some life that got in the way of tonight's show. She had to work late, so no worries. We give her a pass because she didn't win last week anyway, so don't matter. Let's go ahead and bring in the star of the show himself, deep from the heart of Texas. It's Marco from Waco, brother. Try that again, Marco, because the volume was way down. In 3, 2, 1.
Marco from Waco, brothers. The sausage fest is here. Let's hang out with all the dicks.
Yes, indeed. Unfortunately, Pammy will not grace us with her presence tonight. But how are you doing this evening, Marco? I hear we woke you from slumber.
My goodness, man. I was deep on deep nap, deep sleep, and you guys there woke me up so I can do this choke call and smack my picks. How dare you?
I hope you weren't dreaming of ghosts coming over and giving you a good time like in Ghostbusters.
Great. Now you're going to get me thinking about ghosts and stuff. I won't be able to go to sleep. You suck. Okay.
You got it, brother. I would have been upset if we interrupted one of those dreams. All right, so let's get this show started. DJ Tony, go ahead and cue that music. So the heavyweight division we go. Derek, my balls is hot. Black Beast, Lewis, coming out of deep from the heart of Texas, just like Marco from Waco, brother, versus the boy, your boy, DJ Tony, Junior Dos Santos, Singano. All right, at age 35, Singano is 6'4", 239 pounds is what he's coming in at. And Marco, Derek Lewis, coming back at us. 34 years of age, 6'3", 264 pounds. He is listed at here on the Dog That Is Sure. And let me quickly, DJ, Tony, and Marco, give you guys the odds before I ask Marco for his pick here. We've got Derek Lewis as the favorite at a plus 170. And Junior Dos Santos coming back at us, Marco, at a minus – oh, sorry, reverse that. So Santos is the favorite. Derek Lewis at a plus 170. Junior Dos Santos at a minus 200. Marco, what you got going on here in the main event of UFC Fight Night 146?
I like this main event just for the fun factor of it. If you are a betting dog, man, and you want to bet the dog, this is a good fight to bet the dog on. Technically speaking, you know, technique will say that Junior Dos Santos should win this fight. You know, the better boxer, former champion, knockout artist, you know, he's fighting more from the outside lately, you know, using his footwork. Everything will dictate that he should win. But, Mr., my balls are hot. There is Lewis, man. He got that life-changing freaking power. I mean, Volkanov was freaking winning the fight, pillar to post, until the last 10 seconds of the fight when he got freaking split by Derek Lewis. So, you know, Derek is a live dog at any second of the fight. And I got that feeling, man, because Derek Lewis got the history of, like, he's losing the fight until he doesn't lose it anymore. And nine times out of ten, people wake up, you know, open their eyes and what the hell just hit me? What, I am on the floor, and Derek Lewis is doing his famous celebration, you know, rolling on the freaking ground. I got the Black Beast, dude. I got the feeling that the Black Beast is going to knock out Junior Dos Santos. You know, Dos Santos got a lot of freaking mileage on his body. You know, the Stipe Miocic knockout, the two Cain Velasquez fights. The guy's a, you know, championship level fighter. You know, we know that. You know, former champion and all. But Derek Lewis is something special, man. And he got plenty of heart, you know. He got no quit. And he got that life-changing power. So I'm going to pick up Derek Lewis late on the third round with a knockout. And on an entertainment.
Okay.
I know it's a five-round fight, I know that. But I think late on the third, we're going to see Derek Lewis catch Dos Santos with something and knocking him out. So give it Derek Lewis right now, Cap.
All right. And, yeah, you mentioned that this is another five-rounder, of course. DJ Tony, Marco brings up good points that Lewis has got that life-changing power, but he also mentioned that Dos Santos is you know, probably the more skilled fighter, but also brought up all the mileage that, of course, Dos Santos has on his body. DJ Tony, what you got going on here in the main event?
You know what, Proteus? I actually totally agree with Marco with everything but the finish. Here's the thing. Like Marco was saying, conventional wisdom should tell you, right, the better boxer, the more trained boxer. The problem is JDS's chin, guys, I think it's been gone for quite some time. I really think it's been gone for quite some time. Part of it is, like Marco said, the mileage. The other part of it is the big guys, right? Their chin can only hold up for so long. I think he's going to get caught, you guys, because when he beat Tai Tuivasa, I think Tai Tuivasa to me reminds me a lot of Derek Lewis, like a lot. And I actually thought that was going to go the other way around. I'm taking Derek Lewis, guys. First round TKO late in the first. So it hurts me to say that.
Okay.
I like both of these guys, but I'm taking Derek Lewis.
Okay. I think you guys obviously bring up good points, as I was mentioning before I brought Tony in. Like Marco, you say, you know, JDS has got a lot of mileage on his body. You're right. But he's also had more experience, in my opinion. You know, we saw what Daniel Cormier was able to do to Derek Lewis. Of course, there is levels to this shit. And, of course, Dos Santos does not have the wrestling, of course, that Daniel Cormier has. But I do believe that Dos Santos is not going to be stupid and leave himself open to those big shots of Derek Lewis. Yes, Derek Lewis has other weapons. You know, he can throw some kicks. He has shown that he can finish on the ground, but I highly doubt if this fight goes to the ground that Lewis is in the better position against Dos Santos. So I'm going to disagree with you guys just because that's better radio as well. And I do believe that I think this is, in my opinion, if Derek Lewis gets past Dos Santos on this one, I mean, we should probably fast track him again to get him up there as soon as possible. But I think the game plan has been shown how you go about neutralizing what Lewis brings to the table. Could you guys be right and Dos Santos ends up looking up at the lights? Absolutely. But I'm going to go ahead and I don't think this one goes five. I think if this one goes into championship rounds, of course, there's no championship on the line here, but of course, it's the main event of a UFC fight. So, of course, it's five rounds. For all of you who don't know, now you know. I'm going to take in the fourth, I'm going to go ahead and take Dos Santos. Marco, I know that you're right that Lewis has a tendency to come back, but I think that Dos Santos is going to be able to take him into championship rounds and get it done by TKO in the fourth.
I call him the main event.
All right, guys.
Okay,
main event rounds. That's a better way to call them. Let's say that as opposed to championship rounds. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's move right along to the co-main event. We go to the welterweight division. This is a mouthful, ladies and gentlemen. I'm probably going to get it wrong. Elizu Zaleski Dos Santos versus Curtis Milder. All right, so let's get into the gentleman from Brazil. Age 32. Height 5'11", weight 170 pounds is his weight division against Curtis, the rising star, Milder, also known as Curtius. Age 31, 6'3", 170 pounds is also his weight division. GJ Tony, let me give you the odds right quickly on this fight as well. Milder, as I mentioned, being the rising star, coming at us at a minus 120 is the favorite. Dos Santos coming back at us at a plus 100. So, DJ, Tony, pretty much a pick'em fight in this one, I believe. So what you got going on here?
Here's the thing where I'm going to cheat a little, you guys, because I've actually seen Curtis Milder fight quite a bit when he was at LFA. Did see him fight at in Bellator. I'm actually surprised that they didn't sign him. This guy's a star, guys. I'm not saying that he's a John Jones. I'm certainly not saying that he's Johnny Walker Blue, that type of star, or Dominic Reyes. But this guy, at 6'3", 170, this guy has something special. Both of these guys haven't lost in quite some time. I think actually the last time Milder lost was in June of 2016. And obviously, Dos Santos, no relation to the great junior Dos Santos, by the way. It's just isn't as big, right? He's a good fighter. I mean, he's won six straight in the UFC. But if you look at who he's fought, Lyman Good, you know, the Max Griffin, Max Payne Griffin's a good fighter. These are decisions. Did have the last two TKOs with Sean Strickland and Luigi Venturini. But these are not – this is not Curtis Milder. I'm taking Curtis Milder, guys, and he's going to actually light up the sky somehow, some way. I'm taking him with a TKO, let's just say with a head kick, second round, Curtis Milder.
All right, second round, TKO for DJ Tony. And, of course, I know that Marco is probably going to go the other way on this one, but I'm going to agree with you. DJ Tony, you know, as impressive as really both guys' records are. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in a row for Dos Santos. And, of course, as you mentioned, Milder has not lost since 2015. And, of course, maybe the last three fights, you know, he's only had in the UFC and the rest, as you mentioned, DJ Tony being the LFA. But as we had mentioned, a rising star in this division. I'm also going to take him. I'm not going to give much breakdown on this one. I'm just going to go ahead and say I'm going to take Millender as well, and I'm going to take him by decision. All right, Marco, it's your turn to prove us both wrong. What you got going on here? Co-main event.
It's going to be a clean. It's going to be a clean sweep, man. I am more aware of Curtis Millender. Curtis Millender, man. I love that nickname, by the way. I'm more aware of his body of work than I am of Dos Santos. Look, the guy got the high and the rich, man. And for better or for worse, I think they're banking on Curtis Millender because he's a more marketable guy. I was surprised that the odds were so close. I'm not going to lie. I thought Millender was going to be a more sizable favorite. So it tells you a lot about what the Vegas thinks about Dos Santos, but I'm still going with my more known commodity is Millender. Look, I think this Brazilian is a tough guy. So it's going to be hard to pull away, but I'm still going to give Millender the advantage because of just the high-end rich man. I think he's going to play it on the outside and pepper this guy for three rounds and win a 30-27 unanimous decision for Millender.
All right. So let's recap the main event and the co-main event. Marco is going with Derek Lewis, third round KO. Tony also going with Lewis, first round TKO. And unfortunately, Proteus changing the tide here, going with Dos Santos in the fourth round by TKO on a tired Derek Lewis. In the co-main event, DJ Tony, Proteus and Marco all have Millender, of course, so that will not be very exciting, except if DJ Tony wins by the second round TKO. Marco and I both have Millender by decision. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, time to throw to everyone's favorite segment of the show, hashtag Spotlight Fight of the Night. Marco, let's throw to you for your Spotlight Fight of the Night here, brother.
I've been debating the two fights, but you know, the one that got freaking chaos and King Gasos bleeding all over is Tim Means versus freaking Nico Price. And you know, Tim Means is a violent personality. That dude goes up there to blow your head off or get knocked out himself. He's gonna be probably fun of the night. It's an entertaining fight. I'm going to pick up Tim Means, but somehow getting a TKO on the second round, you know, with those elbows of him. Give me Tim Means with a second round TKO.
Yeah, this was one that I had my eye on as well, Marco. Another exciting welterweight division fight. Very good fight, Nico Price. A very hard contender for Tim Means, but of course Tim Means is a very exciting and talented fighter as well. DJ Tony, let's throw to you for your Spotlight Fight of the Night, please. And I think I know where we're going here.
Proteus, actually, you know what? I'm going to throw you guys for a loop, only because of this.
No, you're not.
Pam, by the way, called me and said that I get to pick two Spotlight fights. But let me tell you guys why. Let me tell you guys why. My favorite person in the entire MMA happens to be Beneil Dariush. There's no doubt about it. I think he's just a class act, my favorite fighter. How can I not choose Beneil Dariush? So my spotlight fight for Pam, friend to the show, friend all the way across, Beneil Dariush, I have him with a decision over Drew Dober via Pam. I'm lying, by the way. She didn't call me. But, and you guys know, I own.
Don't cheat. I agree.
But how can I not look at Yana Kunitskaya? Shout out to Yana Kunitskaya. But on that one, you guys, I'm going to choose friend to the show, Marion Renault, who we got to meet, of course, in Fresno. Was it Visalia? Now I can't recall. But I'm choosing Marion Renault with a decision. Actually, you know what? Submission over Yana Kunitskaya. In the, how about that?
What is the basic rule of the show when it comes to friends of the show? The basic rule, Except for last week, because everybody got a pass last week, is that you don't pick against friends of the show. Not allowed. It's not allowed. So shout out to Marion Randall. You go get her, girl. Go get her, girl.
And just quickly, before I move on, DJ Tony, what was Pam's pick with Darius, the method and round?
Pam choosing, I'm lying, by the way, decision Benil Darius over Drew Dover.
All right. So I just wanted to quickly shout out Lewis Smolka against Matt Schnell. That one should be a slobber knocker, ladies and gentlemen, as well. So, I mean, the undercard of this particular event, pretty good here. And it's going to be nice to see Smolka, with all of his past history, and see him get another win in a row. That'd be five in a row for him. So not my spotlight fight of the night, though. I'm going to go ahead and go with the other heavyweight bout on the card, Blagov Ivanov, another Ov that we need to mention, against Ben Rothwell. And I'm going to take Big Bad Ben. There you go. I love it. That's a good one. Ben Rothwell, like Marco was saying, he's the killer from Kenosha. Is again, I think the more experienced fighter, Ben being off for a bit. Of course, we know with those troubles, but I'm going to take Big Ben. I'm going to take him. I put Ben down instead of Proteus. That's fun. Proteus is going to take Rothwell. I'm going to take him by second round KO.
Yeah.
He is the killer Kenoshin. Go ahead real quick.
Shout out to Ben Robbie because, before he got in trouble with USADA, the guy was on a run, on a roll, man. I mean, he was sniffing at a title shot. And hopefully he positioned himself again for one more run, dude, because I see he got one more run left for him to try to get that, elusive title shot. So you go, Ben. Friend of the MMA junkie, He's a junkie at heart. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, we do. And of course, as we mentioned, those troubles, I mean, Ben's been off since April of 2016. So it's going to be hard coming back after, pretty much 3 years off. But let's go ahead and give our faith behind Ben Rothwell, as you said, Marco, friend of MMA Junkie, and anybody who's been listening to MMA Junkie for a long period of time, as we have been, will know that he is a friend of the show. All right, guys, let's go ahead and move along. We are moving along swiftly, but I think that we have a lot to talk about in AMP Radio Rewind. Marco? Thank you, Marco. So let's go in ahead and revisit, if we can, ladies and gentlemen, UFC 235. Cue that music, DJ Tony. Thank you, sir. All right, so the main event of UFC 235 saw John Jones versus Anthony Smith. And, of course, the field was split on these picks last week. Marco and Proteus both choosing Jones. Pam and Tony going with, obviously, friend of the show. And Marco had mentioned the caveat of last week was that this is going to be an uphill battle for Smith, and we all knew that. So we were allowed to go against the usual rules and pick Jones. So we had a little bit of controversy in this particular fight, Marco. John Jones seemingly throwing not one but two illegal kicks and one knee. One kick, one knee. The knee landed. He was docked for that illegal procedure, and Anthony Smith decided to fight on. Go out on his shield. And let's be honest, Marco, I don't think anyone else in Smith's position would have taken such a beating from Jones as he did. What were your thoughts on this fight and of course, the illegal throws?
Okay, so let's start the fight first. John Jones is going to John Jones, man. The guy is the best fighter we have seen in this generation. The guy is so good. And the way Anthony Smith represented himself was outstanding. I mean, he exceeded expectations. You know, he won all five with John Jones. He did not put too much of an offense on. I mean, he defensively speaking, he was sound. His takedown defense was on point. You know, he didn't take that much damage, but he took a beating. And John Jones just was outstanding. Let's add the controversial kicks, man. The first kick that I think that was the most egregious one, the one that when Anthony was sitting, and he aimed to the body by a slide to the head of Anthony. It was called a no foul. There was no warning, nothing. According to Jardine, you know, he did not hit the head because, you know, Anthony was, he protected himself, you know, with his arm.
Yeah.
So there was no points taken. Granted, for me, that was the most egregious kick. The knee, if he was across the border in California, that would have been a perfectly legal knee. Because Nevada, on their freaking outstanding stupid wisdom, has not taken all the unified rules and they have remained with that 3-point of contact stupid rule of the freaking down opponent. But in California, that knee would have been perfectly legal. Kudos to Anthony Smith, because any other freaking shitting-ass mofo would have freaking said, oh, I can continue. They would have disqualified John Jones. Anthony Smith would have walked out with the title, but everybody would have known that that was a tainted title. And Anthony Smith said so himself. He went there to win the title, not to steal it. So, you know, I think his profile and his the way people see Anthony Smith went up. Everybody respect the guy so much, including John Jones, everybody. Everybody's talking marvels about Anthony Smith, and deservedly so. But John Jones is was the better fighter. I mean, what can I say about the guy, you know? Pictograms or no pictograms, the guy is freaking outstanding. And we are, I guess, blessed to see this guy fight in this day and age. You know, and he's going to run to every single light heavyweight up there. Probably the best challenges for John Jones in the future are going to be at a heavyweight, not a light heavyweight. So, you know, until that happens, you know, they're going to put Diego Santos in front of him. He's going to run through him. They're going to put Dominic Reyes in front of him. He's going to run through him. And then Jimmy Walker, and then probably going to move to heavyweight. So Anthony Smith probably will get a chance to fight for a title again, but not against John Jones. Maybe next year when he moves to heavyweight against somebody else. And that will be the continuation of this story.
This is a tough one, you guys. I think Markel said everything that needed to be said, but I will say a few things in terms of this. Obviously, he did exceed expectations. Listen, I'm not dumb enough to believe that I thought that Lionheart would have an easy time with John Jones. I don't think, like Markel said, I don't think anyone can beat John Jones except for John Jones' own demons. But I think John Jones fights to the level of competition. And I think when he thinks he has an easier time, he takes it easy. Just like, if you guys remember the Miami Heat when they had LeBron and Wayne Wade and everyone else, they would kind of cruise. They would kind of cruise.
That's an excellent point. I was going to say, a lot of people harp on John Jones for the Owen Sam proof fight, but I see he does fight to the level of the competition. You are absolutely right.
I think we saw that, Marco, right, with him, like, playing around with the kicks. You can tell when John Jones is serious and when he isn't, because when he's serious, he tends to end the fight quickly. When he's, like, literally trying to get just airtime in, he starts goofing around. So, listen, shout out to Lionheart Smith. I don't know if he'll ever get another title shot. He just proved to be a complete class act. John Jones is just an extraordinary athlete and really a smart fighter, you guys. So, I mean, not much that can be said. John Jones won because he should have won. Anthony Smith is pure class.
I'm not going to contend with anything you guys said, but I wanted to highlight some facts or some things that I saw here. In the first round, John Jones's behavior was much different from 2 through 5. Okay, John Jones at the beginning, I think what you guys are saying is correct. He did think that he was going to be able to run through Anthony Smith, and he was trying to throw big shots, like you guys said, and finish the fight. But Anthony Smith was able to elude, and he was prepared for John Jones. He was prepared for what John Jones is good at, and he knew Anthony Smith knew where his weak links were and was not allowing John Jones to get those to those weaklings in the first. Now, after the first round, we saw a lot different behavior from John Jones. John Jones was getting more creative. He was timing Anthony Smith a lot better. And, of course, I think we're underestimating how much a lot of these kicks and punches were hurting. I mean, if you just look at the beautiful technique on those spinning techniques to the chest of Anthony Smith with the kicks, it's just impressive. I mean, John Jones is able to keep Anthony at the exact correct distance so that those kicks had the most amount of impact. And then you fast forward and you go to when John Jones, I believe it was in the third or the fourth round, was going for a third round, was going for a flying knee. Anthony Smith backs up a bit, and John Jones is able to turn that flying knee into a defensive technique, which was a kick towards the leg of Anthony, the lead leg of Anthony Smith. I just thought what we saw from John Jones was very impressive. He picked him apart, and we saw Anthony Smith just lying there, just sitting on the ground, just trying to just not do anything to get knocked out. And the unfortunate knee, the kick, of course, I didn't, as Marco said, I don't believe maybe it was going for the head, but again, it didn't hit the head first. So we have to discount that, but we have to see that John Jones was trying to finish that fight. I think he was trying to desperately finish that fight in the first couple of rounds, even into the fourth, when he was throwing that, as Marco mentioned, not illegal knee in California, but in Las Vegas. And let's talk about that knee for 1 second, ladies and gentlemen, because I watched it a number of times. I watched it in slow motion. I watched the replays. I do believe that the knee was trying to, they had said, or as John Jones had said, the explanation of what he was doing was trying to time Smith coming up off of the canvas, and it actually hit the shoulder first, and then it seemed like John Jones kind of moved it a little bit, and it did tag him a bit, Anthony Smith, in the face. So it hit the shoulder first and then bounced off and hit him in the head, or John Jones decided to move it. I'm not sure which one. Of course, I wasn't in there. But I do appreciate that Herb Dean stopped the fight right away. Yeah, you know, went to the replay. Herb Dean made sure that whomever he was talking to, the official that he was talking to, said you could see the infraction, that it was, you know. And as Marco had said, I mean, and as we said on this show previous times, that the Athletic Commission in Nevada not taking on the newest unified rules, except for this down to fighter rule, is very confusing. And it's a matter of inches, right, Marco? It's a matter of whether your palm is down or your fingertips are down. Anthony Smith was moving up. It looked like he was getting up. It looked like to me that if Smith kept on moving in an upward trajectory, that would have landed clean. So I didn't really have a great deal of problem with it. I was okay with Herb Dean taking the 2 points as well, because it was pretty egregious. It was also the second kind of shot that was towards the head of a downed opponent. So great win by John Jones. One thing I wanted to point out is that Dana White did not put this belt on John Jones. For some reason, Mick Maynard came into the octagon and put that belt on John Jones quickly and then proceeded to scurry out of the cage as fast as possible. I did ask one John Morgan about set of actions by Dana White, and what I got back was that Dana White has recently had shoulder surgery, and that was the reason why perhaps Mr. White did not get in there and put on the belt on Mr. Jones. However, he had no problem putting that belt on Mr. Usman in the next fight that we will talk about, and of course meeting and greeting with Usman's family as well. So I will digress on this one, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead.
On the 2 points taken, how dominant was John Jones that they took 2 points and he still went 48-44? He had a 10-8 round in there on the five round fight.
Exactly.
How dominant was that performance? They take 2 points away and he still win by 4 points. Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy because he was just rolling over Anthony Smith. Let's just say that.
Yeah, let's go to the next
fight. Marco? Go ahead.
I need you to talk to about the next fight. Freaking Kamaru Usman is a problem. God. Dude, the first time I pick in favor of Tyron Woodley, and the mofo freaking loses and loses like that. What happened to Tyron Woodley, man? I mean, I'm surprised and not really, because he always fights with his back against the fence, and he always counterpunched. I mean, he counterpunched a lot, but he did nothing. And Kamaru Usman just put it on him. And congratulations, Kamaru Usman. He got 245. I mean, a 250-44 and 150-45. Whoever was judged against him at 50-45 is blind, because that round where he was mounted on Tyron Woodley was a 10-8. Undoubtedly, man, a lot of people are happy on Mark Goddard about the separations and the stand-ups and other stuff, but Luchtor has broken down today to the time and how long it took Goddard to stand up and separate the fighters. And I didn't have any problem with it, dude. I mean, it kept the fight moving. They reset the action. It did not affect the outcome of the fight whatsoever. So a lot of people are being really hard on Mark Goddard and what he said to Kamaru Usman, that he actually acknowledged himself that probably was the wrong choice of words and that this is a fight. Now, yeah, you messed up there, Goddard, but the rest of the fight, you have a problem with it. And Kamaru Usman, outstanding, man. I don't know who's going to talk about Kobe Covington, who is, by the way, the rightful number one contender at the next fight with Kamaru Usman and his antics last week, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. Kobe Covington did it right last week. He stole all the headlines. All the headlines last week was Ben Askren's and Kobe Covington. And Kobe Covington got himself a freaking title shot by being the annoying little prick he is, and I know Kobe Covington is kicking himself because the way Kamaru Usman fights is the way Kobe Covington fights. And what the Tyron Woodley that showed up last Saturday would have been beaten by Kobe Covington in the exact same way Kamaru Usman beat him. So I know Covington is kicking himself because of that, but we're going to see Covington and Usman, and it's going to be an entertaining fight too. Never mind the fact that they got into a freaking melee with Ali Abdelaziz, that freaking scumbag that is always starting to get in fights. He did the same check with freaking Khabib Nurmagomedov, man, getting on the hill and trying to fight people, and on WSOF getting in brawls with the crowd. Fuck Ali Abdelaziz, man. Kamaru, you should fire that dude because he's a freaking piece of dirt. But Khabib going to Kamaru Usman next, and I cannot wait, brother.
Yeah, and I know, guys, I went for a long period of time on that particular, the last fight, but there's a lot of talk about in these, all three of these particular fights, the main event, the co-main event, and the fight underneath the co-main event. Marco, you bring up good points about Usman, and you bring up good points about Ali. I have mentioned that before on this show. And, of course, you bring up good points about Covington. But let's go to throw to DJ Tony for his comments on the co-main event. Of course, I have to gloat and say that I was the only one who took Usman in this particular fight. Everyone else went with Woodley.
Boo!
Cronius, you know what? You might have been the only one that actually got that one, honestly, because I like Usman. I believed in Usman, but did I think that he could beat Woodley? Markle said it, not even close. But that wasn't the same thing, remember, and I don't know if it's just age or whatever, but that was odd. I do want to move on to this one, though, if you allow me, Proteus, is the Ben Askren, Robbie Lawler. I know Marco brought up a little bit about Mark Goddard. But Mark Goddard, honestly, for the fact that John Anik is going against a referee as hard as he did means that Mark Goddard must not be a good person, you guys. I have no idea what he's like outside the ring, but they kept talking about how cocky he is, how rude he is. If John Anik doesn't like you, you've done something wrong.
What, that hardly looks like Mark Goddard, and they got a podcast together, and they're pretty good at it. I took a listen to it, to the Dan Hardy and Mark Goddard podcast, and he sounds pretty likable on the podcast. So, I don't know, it's on the eye of the beholder, man. He might be a little bit arrogant and cocky, but I do not think Mark Goddard is a bad referee. As a matter of fact, I think he's one of the better referees we got up there. So let's not compare him with Steve Masagari, Mary Yamasaka, or Kim Wislow. You know, the guy's nowhere near that. And like I said before, his decisions did not affect the outcome of the fight. And the way Luke Thomas broke it down today, he made a really good point that he actually kept the action going, because at some point they were just stalling. And not only stalling, they were on a stalemate. When you're stalemate, I mean, you got to keep it, you got to move it along. They do it on boxing, in wrestling, man. If you ever wrestle, you know, they keep that freaking whistle fast. Same in jiu-jitsu. You know, they take points away for the stalling and stuff. So, they have a problem with the freaking standards and moving it along, bro.
DJ Tony, you got any more to say about that, or should I weigh in?
No, well, go ahead and weigh in, but again, just on that remark, Marco, and I think you're 100% right, except for one thing. You keep harking on the fact that Mark Goddard is a good referee. No one's saying that he isn't a good referee. What his attitude is what makes him difficult. If he's rude to the commentators, first off, he shouldn't be on Twitter to begin with. It's not his business to be on Twitter. But if John Anik and Joe Rogan are both saying it's his attitude, this has nothing to do with his referee style, right? It has to do with how he conducts himself in the ring or in the cage, which is what we're talking about. That's my only contention.
And Marco, you're not on mute anymore. I just wanted to.
I want to play devil's advocate. We follow the sport like religiously because we're super fans. Have we ever had any issue with Matt Goddard except for this time? Have you ever had any other occasion when we're talking about Matt Goddard's refereeing style? Okay, I'm being very serious because this is the very first time I ever heard Matt Goddard being on a controversy like this. I mean, we have heard about Herb Dean, you know, several times, you know, including this card that we want to talk about. He has had issues, you know, with decisions he has made. Even Big John McCarty. Okay, let's not even mention it, Marzagatti, Yamasaki, and Winslow, you know. But this is the first time I can recall that we have had any issue with Mark Goddard. And it's because it was a championship fight and because the commentators disagree with him. I mean, the guy's a human being, and he was getting it from all angles. At one point, you have to defend yourself.
Yeah, I get that 100%. And Mark Goddard, look, this is a side story besides what happened in the fight, okay? I mean, John Anik and Mark Goddard going at it is not any of my business. I wanted to talk about what happened in the fight and what Mark Goddard did, okay? So Luke Thomas broke it down. I had a problem myself, to be honest with you guys, watching it live, had a problem with what Mark Goddard was doing. Did he move the action along? Yes, Marco, he did. But did he move it along in a point in time where it probably gave Woodley another opportunity to get out of the position that he was in? Yes, it did. So I disagreed with it there. Did it affect the fight? No, because Woodley was not able to get back. Great win by Kamaru Usman, and I think it's sometimes it's tough to get out of those satin sheets when you are living inside of them, as they would say. So let's go on and move to the next fight on this particular card. another reason, like you said, Marco, you know, the referee comes up again. And of course, DJ Tony, your favorite referee, coming up again and affecting the fight. Robbie Lawler coming out looking impressive. And not getting the win. So let's go ahead and throw it to you on this one, DJ Tony. What did you think about this fight here? did you feel bad for Lawler or not so much?
I actually felt really bad for Lawler. I felt a little worse for Herb Dean, like, because Marco has said this. Herb Dean, we've questioned Herb Dean before, right? I mean, we've said so many people were talking about how good he was, how he's a number two besides McCarthy, but we questioned Herb Dean a few times. And if you see the Twitter, there's a Twitter audio feed where Robbie Lawler just being a class act, guys, and saying, hey, listen, you effed up, but you're a good ref. You're a good ref. Man, I don't know if I'd be as classy as Robbie Lawler on that one, you guys, because I didn't see him go out. I saw his hand drop, but I thought he was still in it. Heck, Ben Askren was rocked. I mean, really bad. Obviously, it wasn't to the point where it could have been stopped, but it was close. I'm just disappointed that Ben Askren doesn't want to fight Robbie Lawler again, you guys, because I think this needs to be run back.
Yeah, I'll weigh in real quickly and want to get Marco to weigh in and then end the show. But this one here, unfortunately, guys, it's another example of you got to move. You got to move. You can't just give the thumbs up. I mean, if I was Herb Dean, even when I was watching it live, Marco, I thought, oh, Robbie Lawler's out, unfortunately. I was like, oh, unfortunately, Robbie Lawler looked great in the first part of the fight, and then didn't look so great. When Askren was able to get him to the ground and get him in that bulldog choke, and look, it was over the head. It wasn't underneath the neck at all. Robbie Lawler did look. His hand fell down, kind of looked from the frontal view that he could have been out. I thought he was out. Everybody thought he was out, you know, but he wasn't. So, or maybe he was, and he came back after Askren let go. Who knows? Yes, this fight needs to happen again. There's no way that Askren wins this particular battle between Dana White and himself. This fight is going to happen again, or Ben Askren doesn't fight for a very, very long time, and his contract runs out. Thanks for coming out, Ben Askren. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. When it comes to Ben Askren not fighting again, the U.S. is legally obligated to offer him fights. So they could offer him fights that he doesn't want. But look, the fight, man, well, I picked Robbie Lawler. Everybody knows that I'm out for Robbie Lawler. And for a second there, Robbie made me look really good with that body slam, with that slam,
right.
And then
yep.
the gift wrap on the hand, and I'm wailing on freaking Ben Askren. I think Robbie tried to freaking preserve himself because he didn't want to gas himself out. He could have just pressed on the freaking pedal a little bit longer. He probably gonna get the TKO, man, because he was like razor close to get the referee or then to intervene. Kudos
yeah.
to Ben Askren for weathering the storm, the hurricane, you know, that tornado that was probably loaded at the beginning of the fight. Get into the ground to the bulldog choke. Now, the controversy is going to blake forever because I personally thought that Robbie was out. John Rogan, Dominic Cruz, and freaking, who was it? And John Anik, all three of them saw Robbie was out for a second. They called it out and then Robbie
yeah.
popped right back up. Now, if you see the Gracie breakdown with Heenan and Heron, they made the case of why Robbie Lawler was maybe out for a second. And then, you know, when the hand dropped, and by all intents and purposes, it's a technical submission because he was out. And then when Astra let go, Block can rush back up, and you don't even realize you went out, you know. Dugo was a Gracie
mm-hmm.
breakdown because they did a great job on that bulldog choke and why Robbie was not going anywhere. It was a minute 40 left with Ben Askren choking you like a freaking python. And here is on Herdin. Herdin was not decisive enough when he should have intervened to stop the fight because he could have stopped the fight the moment the hand dropped. Nobody would have said nothing, you know. Everybody would have been like, oh, yeah, Herdin was out. And he woke up when Askren let go. Or if Herdin, because it reminded me a lot of the Michael Chiesa-Kevin Lee fight. You know, a lot of people complained that Michael Chiesa wasn't out and Yamasaki stopped
right.
too early. Now, a little bit of a difference because, you know, that was a real naked shot, so you got actually see Chiesa's face. But, you know, the hand was wobbly and stuff, and they stopped it. And Chiesa popped right back up and complained, hey, why did you stop it? You know, I was about to freaking get out of it. If Herdin would have let the show hold a little bit longer, make sure that Robbie Lawler was out for good, you know, let him go to sleep. If he would have done that, or when freaking Misha Tate choked out Holly Holm went to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, if they would have done that, there would have been no controversy, but his indecisiveness, either not finishing the fight when the hand dropped, or not just letting the freaking choke hold until Roy was completely out, was what affected this fight. If they ran it that great, Ben Askren should have taken the fight because for all technical purposes, it was called a submission, you know. It's not his fault the referee made the quote-unquote wrong call. It's not his fault, but if they run it back, they won't have run it with it either. If they run it back, great. If they don't, and he gets the winner of Till Masvidal, even better, you know. Ben Askren is a star in the making. He should have been on the UFC a long time ago. I like his antics. I like how witty he is. Maybe not his fighting style so much, but if he's going to be choking people out like that, maybe we got something here.
Yeah, maybe we do, and you know, again, we harp on these referees, but who need to make a decision in a split second, and then, you know, if the fighter pops back up and says, what the fuck, we have sympathy for the fighter. Again, I don't know. I think the position that Robbie was in, even if he was out, I mean, Ben Askren was holding him up, so it's hard to tell, and I would like to see it run back, and I don't think that Askren is going to get another fight besides Robbie Lawler. So let's go real quickly. DJ Tolney, you, as Marco had brought up.
You seen when Corey Covington ambushed Dana White on the Pearl of the Palms on the blackjack table? That footage at the right side of freaking Dana White is a young, pretty young lady that kind of sort of just sit down real quick. Like, that is Dana White's side piece. You know that. I mean, girl, you haven't been there before. I'm like, nothing is happening. I'm like, you're playing cards because you gave yourself out big time by just getting up at this given time. We know you. I know everybody knows you're Dana White's side piece, and you cannot hide it anymore.
Well, shout out to Marco for catching that hottie who gave us what 30
side piece.
30,
yeah,
not even
piece.
Yeah, not even a whole second, I think, of being able to see her. You know, listen, Cody Garbrandt, guys. Three straight KO losses. I don't know, guys. I think he's done in more ways than one unless he changes his fight style. I actually fought very similar to him, and I mean this with a smile because if anyone has ever seen me fight, no one's going to, you know, compare me to Cody Garbrandt. That's for darn sure. But I fought the same style where I get hit, like all of a sudden it's on, but you can't fight that way.
Yeah.
Especially, guys, three straight KO losses at 135 pounds. Something's wrong.
Yeah. And in the first round, right? So.
Yeah. You know what? Cody got an amateur boxing background, too. 30-1 in amateur boxing.
Exactly.
He's been taking a lot of blows to the head, plus, you know, wrestling. And he was a middle linebacker in freaking high school. So he's been taking blows to the head for a long time. But his former coach in Alpha Male, I don't recall his name now, he left Alpha Male. I got the name of it, the tip of my tongue, but I can't recall it. Well, he was in
Buckholz.
Buckholz, Dusty Buckholz. Thank you. They got an interview with Luke Thomas again, and he spit a lot of venom about Alpha Male and Uriah Faber. He was in another podcast. They just mentioned Luke Thomas today. Well, bottom line is, you know, Alpha Male got the issues with Dwayne Van Lodwijk. Then they went to Martin Kattman. Then Justin Buckholz, what is the freaking common denominator with all those three guys? They all left Alpha Male because they all got the same grievances about Uriah Faber. He's not only the owner,
yep,
the manager, he's also getting involved with the coaching, the father figure. He gets his fingers on the freaking cookie jar when it comes to the trainer or the fighters too much, you know, and it's his way over the highway, and people just leave. Like, Van Lowe, did he left? He's doing his own thing. Buckholz left, he's doing his own thing. Martin Kattman, same thing. So maybe the problem is not Cody Garbrandt, because when Cody Garbrandt was with Justin Buckholz, Justin Buckholz was the cornerman and head trainer of Cody Garbrandt when he beat Dominic Cruz and when he was on his run. You know, that 1 year that he went from unranked to champion, Justin Buckholz was his head coach. Justin Buckholz left, and he lost to freaking Dillashaw twice, and now Munoz. So it might not just be that Cody Garbrandt probably might be an Alpha Male problem, cultural philosophy there, and the fact that they are pushing out quality coaches and people that were guiding Cody Garbrandt the right way. I mean, did you deal at your left Alpha Male to follow Van Lodwijk because he knew that guy was going to make him a champion? And he did.
Yep.
And Justin Buckholz leave, and what happened? Cody Garbrandt is not the champion anymore. So maybe where there is smoke, there is fire. I'm just putting that away on the freaking eater for people to ruminate about it.
Yeah, and I'm just going to put it out there that I said that about 2 years ago. Thank you for confirming that, Marco. I think, like you said, Alpha Male is the problem. And it is unfortunate for Cody because, as you guys mentioned, he, you know, did rise to championship status champion status, and like he probably beat one of the best in the division of Dominic Cruz, and the way that he beat him was just so impressive. We need to see that guy come back again. All right, guys, we need to go ahead and
he's just 27 years old, so there's still time to correct this.
True.
But it's going to take probably, actually, he has to change a venue. He has to go and find someone else to train him because he doesn't got the right environment enough belt right now.
One memory that I did have about Cody was that he was on Junkie, and I called in a number of years ago after we heard him speak. And, you know, this guy is ready to throw down on the streets back in the day. He's had not only a number of professional and amateur fights, but he's had a number of fights off on the streets as well. Again, DJ Tony, cue the music. Let's get us out of here. Your guilty pleasure, anything you want to say, DJ Tony, go ahead and throw it out there.
Guys, I got to actually shout out two people, and Marco said this every single time. Friend to the show first, obviously. Shout out to Marion Renault, the Belizean Bruiser. Follow her at Belizean Bruiser. She's just a class act, you guys. Just a tough, gritty Indeed. Fighter, a teacher, mother. Shout out to Marion Renault. But you know who else we have to shout out? This time we're going to the gram, to the IG, guys, at Yana MMA. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Probably the best abs we've seen in quite some time. I said abs. So shout out to Yana Kunitskaya at Yana MMA on the IG.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out also to the photo that you posted yesterday on the AMP Radio Twitter feed, and of course the AMP Radio Instagram feed. And there's a word that starts with A that isn't abs that also is very nice on Kunitskaya. But I digress. I'm going to go ahead and throw to my... Yeah, that's the one. I'm going to go ahead and throw to my Proteus' shower pick for this week. And it, of course, aligns with the release of this particular track to the general public. We got this week the video for Coheed and Cambria's True Ugly. Great track. The video was kind of meh. I mean, I would have just preferred more just fan interaction and not have people with masks on, animal masks on. But great track. I don't want to belittle it. Go check it out on my YouTube playlist. It's, of course, marked Proteus's Shower Pick. And, of course, Proteus is how you spell Proteus. Let's go ahead and throw to Marco to get us out of here for this week. Marco, you got a Twitter follow of the week. You got a guilty pleasure. How far did you get in the Umbrella Academy, and did you enjoy it?
I'm still working on it. You know, it's been a slow week on Netflix for me. But I wanted to give a shout-out to two other fighters on this card, you know. Sadiq Mohamed Sharipov, you know.
Yep.
He is what we believe he is. And Diego Nymer Sanchez. Motherfucker, ageless son of a bitch, they're going winning. So, instead of guilty pleasure of the week, that is my shout out to two fighters that really impressed me. And Johnny Walker Blue. Oh, come on. That dude, the only way he got himself is by doing the work. But everything else is good with that guy. Follow Tony and DJ Tony. Follow Brothers at Aprario. Follow Para Pandora Box. Shout out to you, Pound. You want another this week. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the show at another MMA cast. Regan Radios, Knucklehead. You know, we're on Google Play, iTunes, Blacktop Radio. Send us a comment, you know. Don't be mean. You know, if you want to criticize, send constructive criticism, but still give us a start. By this weekend, they are on ESPN Plus for people here in the United States, and for people in Canada on TSN for free. You son of a bitch, you don't have to pay for it. See you guys this week. Enjoy the fight. Peace out.
And just like that, DJ Tony, whew,
we're gone.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.